This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of All Fantasy Everything is brought to you by AeroPress. Now, let me paint a picture for you. You bought an amazing, delicious smelling bag of coffee beans. You get home, you're stoked, you make the coffee, and it just isn't what you're feeling. You know, it's a bad cup. AeroPress coffee, however, uses a patented brew method. That's right. You didn't think I knew about brew methods, but I do. It gets all the purest flavor that you could imagine out of those beans, and it speeds things up so coffee doesn't get over-extracted. It's going to give you a smooth, it's going to give you a rich, it's going to give you a bitter-free cup of coffee that tastes as good as the smell, if not better. And that's what we're all shooting for. You know what I mean? AeroPress, it's like a French press that makes a way better cup of coffee. AeroPress uses a patented 3-in-1 brew technology, again, with my brew technology knowledge. It's going to combine the flavor benefits of espresso, pour over, and French press into one compact, tiny little portable device built for travel. I got one. I have traveled with it. It is in the cupboard right now, barely taking up any space. You get a completely unique, delicious cup of coffee wherever you go, only possible with an AeroPress. With over 55,000 five-star ratings in over 60 countries, that's almost more countries than I thought existed. AeroPress is the best reviewed coffee press on the planet at just under $50. And with all of those great reviews, AeroPress makes an exceptional gift. It's thoughtful, it's proven, tasty, and travel oriented. I'm all those things as well. Who wouldn't love that as a gift? Gift receipt, not needed. No one's going to take it back. Get on it. AeroPress is shockingly affordable, less than $50. And we've got an incredible offer for our audience. Visit aeropress.com/allfantasy. Again, that's aeropress.com/allfantasy. And use the promo code allfantasy to save 20% off of your order. That's aeropress.com/allfantasy. And be sure to use the code allfantasy at checkout to save 20%. It is time to ditch the drive-thru, toss the French press, and say yes to better mornings fueled by better coffee. AeroPress ships to the USA and over 60 countries around the world. And we thank AeroPress for sponsoring our show.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is All Fantasy Everything, the podcast where we fantasy draft anything and everything from the world of pop culture. On today's episode, we're drafting stand-up comedy specials. Our guest today is the stand-up comedian, writer, director, Neil Brennan. I'm your host, Ian Carmel, and with me, as always, are my friends and stand-up comedians, Sean Jordan and David Borey. Let's get into it. Welcome to another brand new episode of All Fantasy Everything, the podcast that's wearing glasses today.
You do have shades on.
I'm wearing glasses.
That looks good, man.
I had to do the audiobook for T-Shirt Swim Club for the last 3 days, and I've been doing nothing but looking at fucking screens, and my eyes hurt so bad.
Can I say what I texted you yesterday that you got a chuckle out of? That you read out loud in the last 3 days more than I've read to myself in the last probably 3 years, which is such a dumb thing to say. But is that a dumb thing to say? It's probably true, though.
It's a true thing to say. I don't know, man. You're a smart
guy. I'm not a
reader,
Neil.
I mean, in America, that's not, you know, you're in
good
company.
I don't live in America.
You're an incredible company.
I'm in Ireland right now, so.
Is that true?
No, it's not true. I wish. No, I'm in Portland.
That's one of those overly believable lies.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't a good lie.
Well, it's not really that fantastic.
Yeah. You're like, I'm in a submarine. You know, you would have had to make it a little more extravagant.
And it wasn't funny to boot. So
no, yeah.
It had everything you want from an interjection on a podcast. I really blew it on that one.
Yeah. And now we're wasting like another 5 minutes kind of unpacking it. It's
precious
everything.
Time.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see this cut.
Let's wrap it up. I'm going to get right to it because we have a fantastic topic. Sean Jordan is here. Sean S. Jordan on Twitter. Sean Cougar Mellon Jordan on Instagram. Sean, where can people see you?
The AFE tour, man. You want me to rip off the dates? Go real quick.
I'll do them right now.
AFE tour.
So the AFE is hitting the East Coast and the Midwest. June 11th, we're at the Bell House in Brooklyn. You know what? Why don't you do it? Because I only have the cities.
June 11th, Bell House, Brooklyn. June 12th, Underground Arts in Philly. June 13th, Bell House, Brooklyn again. June 14th, Black Cat in D.C. June 15th, The Randolph in Toronto. Coming at 6, baby. June 16th, at Arts of the Armory in Somerville, Mass., basically Boston. Tuesday, June 18th, Bottle Rocket Social Hall in Pittsburgh, PA. Wednesday, June 19th, Roxy at Mahal's in Cleveland. Thursday, June 20th, Magic Bag in Detroit. Friday the 21st, the Den Theater in Chicago. Closing it out Saturday, June 22nd, Parkway Theater in Minneapolis. Get those tickets. It's going to be dope. We're going back to Philly. I'm excited about it. That's all I got coming up.
I've got them all linked in my bio if anybody needs a place to find them all in one place.
I will too by the time this comes out, I promise.
Beautiful. David Bory is here. Cool Guy Jokes 87 on Instagram. No longer on Twitter.
Never again, man.
No, you ain't missing anything.
Yeah, no, I don't care. I don't give a shit. Come see me on the AFE tour, July. The first 2 weeks, I'm going out with Jamel Johnson through the South. Those dates will be coming out, I guess, the week that this drops. Watch Royal Crackers on HBO. That's about it.
David, do you rub your face your whole act?
Most of it.
That's pretty cool. That's a cool affect.
Well, you got to be nonchalant in a way people that people can't hear it. Yeah.
It would be fun to do a whole special where you're putting on lotion like a concerned mother in a sitcom. You know what I mean? Like before bed, you're just putting on various lotions.
Right on your elbows. I've always wanted to eat, like take a bite of a burger during stand-up. I've never like eaten anything.
What's stopping you?
Nothing. I could.
I've never seen it. That'd be new. I've never seen
a comedian named Hamburger, but I've never seen someone eat one.
Yeah.
I've seen two comedians named Hamburger.
Hamburger and Hamburger 2?
Yeah.
I would have gone with cheeseburger for the second one.
Oh, they got up a little bit. Chicken sandwich, double, Philly cheesesteak.
You would have gone with a double?
Maybe right. Rodeo. Maybe Rodeo Burger. Double. Animal style.
Something.
The riffs were better earlier.
Listeners, you should have been here.
Boy.
Man, oh man.
When we fucking kicked off, were it was hot. Is there anything else you want to tell people about David?
No, not yet.
Still not yet?
Not yet. It's just so few that I don't.
Let him earn it. Let him earn it, David. Don't just give it to him up front. Let him do some later. No. Like it'll, 45 minutes in.
It'll come out.
We've been teasing another announcement for 2 episodes. So this is actually pretty fun. We're building a lot of suspense, I think.
One more.
Our guest today is Neil Brennan, at Neil Brennan on Instagram, Twitter. I imagine TikTok as well. Do you want TikTok?
I'm on TikTok. I bought the verification on Twitter. I went the other way from David.
How do you like that?
I got the double bonus. No, I didn't do that.
Okay. You do have a blue check now, though, right? Didn't they give them back?
Did they? I don't know. I realized once I have a girlfriend, like the social media is totally pointless.
It does nothing for you.
It's completely pointless. Like, I guess promo, but I'm not. I have a guy. I got a guy.
You got a guy?
You got a digital guy?
Yeah. I got a digital guy.
That's luxury, dude. That's the only kind of luxury I'm really interested in. That and private jets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's about... private jets, I've been told repeatedly, is the only real difference money makes, which is pretty big, but you can still only eat a couple meals a day. You can only...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that, like, park your car, be on a plane, and you're in the air, like, 6 minutes later.
I can't even imagine. The stress.
Yeah, I've heard you park your car and you get to punch the co-pilot in the face.
Yeah.
Like, and keep moving. You just go like, psh, and walk onto the plane.
They actually set a, like, if you pay a little extra, they set a 30-second clock and you can do anything to the co-pilot. But it's within that 30 seconds.
But you hurry up.
Yeah.
Hurry up.
Yeah.
And you got to be done by the time the buzzer goes off.
Right. You can't be still. It's not like, let me get one last punch in. It's like hard. It's like basketball rules. It's not soccer.
And fully
rules.
Clothed. Yeah. It has to leave the hand.
Zippers up, buttons down. Mm-hmm. It's pretty clear. Yes, you must have been on a private jet by now.
I've been on probably 15 private jets
yeah.
in my life. And yeah. here's the great human thing about private jets. I believe almost every time, if not every time. So you'll be in like a G4. I guess that's a kind of... And then whenever you
I've heard
land...
some songs about them, yes.
Yeah. Whenever you land at the airport or... It's happened every time when I've landed at the airport. The person who got the private jet would point at the G5 and go, that was the one I wanted to get. So every single time, it's not enough.
Just there's always
good
a
news,
taller
everybody.
Male.
It's never enough.
Well, it'd be enough for me. I'd be pretty
you
excited. I'd be bringing
now,
the captain
Sean.
Coffee.
You say that now.
I'd be bringing him coffee. I'd be sitting in the cockpit. I think it'd be so fun. I want to sit in the cockpit.
You
I'm terrified
no,
to fly.
I don't think you would bring him. You wouldn't bring him coffee. You wouldn't bring him coffee.
You wouldn't.
You'd
that?
Be like, fuck them. They work for me.
Man, that would be kind, a big Jeep.
If you're the kind of person who gets to the point where you have a G4, you're also only the kind of person who would rather have a G5.
Yeah.
Of course. And you're that's also the not the most like, well, I should bring coffee for the staff.
Like, how high just a box of Starbucks. How high do they go? How high do the G's go?
Plane?
Pretty high.
Yeah.
I think they go.
Is there a G10?
I mean, that's I didn't know plane. I knew that much. I didn't realize how much I knew. I believe they go 45,000 feet because low 35,000 feet, there's more turbulence. And then you go to 45, there's less. Oh, I think.
It's a smoother,
I think
more
I heard
luxurious
that.
Ride.
Yeah, that's right.
That would that, be. No, I'm going to go.
Go.
To me, to me, it seems like the great equalizer because there's always turbulence. Like, you can't pay to not have turbulence. I suppose if you go higher, but you still have to. I've never been on a private jet.
I got
to
say,
still bump,
I don't
right?
like. I don't. Yeah, they still bump. They bump. It's bumping. They, they, it's soul plane. I don't especially like private jets because what happens is, it becomes like a cocktail party.
Yes,
like you can't really just, you can't get on a plane and like ignore
just
people.
Sit there.
You have yeah. to be like, so what have you been doing, fellow person? Which, you know, you guys know I don't like.
Yeah. There's a lot of pressure, especially you almost feel like you have to do whatever the person who got the plane. It's like they're setting the tone. And if they go and get a drink.
Is that usually blow?
No, I know. It's far worse. Far worse. I've been on a private jet. I don't want to say with who. You can probably guess. Smoking cigarettes on a private jet.
Well, thank God they don't let me do that in 39B on United. They just they let, like,
yeah.
they let me keep.
That's why you got to fly a Spirit. There. They'll let you smoke in the back.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got to be getting, like, it's got, I wonder if there's any, well, if there's any movement to get like a smoking flight anyway, because they have they can do it. Like if there's like, hey, everyone in this flight's going to be smoking. It's a commercial flight.
I don't know that they could.
You don't think they could? Well, I
no,
mean, they could in the 70s.
No, you can't smoke indoors anywhere. It's not like, no, we're all cool, man. You can't plead
it's
we're cool.
It's performance art.
No, man, come on, man.
What if I do stand up in the aisle? Is it a stage?
Yeah, then you're all right.
That whole thing?
Yeah, I guess you could make it a performance art thing. Yeah. No, you know what? Now that I think about it.
We're drafting stand-up comedy specials today. Neil, you have some fantastic comedy specials of your own, Three Mics, Blocks, available now.
And also, as of April, 3 days, Crazy Good on Netflix.
Hell there yeah, it man.
I'm kind of abandoning my mental health advocacy. And I'm saying that anything good in life is from psychopaths and drug addicts.
Hell yeah.
Whoops.
Good.
I mean, any athlete, every athlete is, every great athlete's insane. Insane to a person. All of them. Name them, they're insane.
Every single one we like. Even Anthony Edwards right now in the Minnesota Timberwolves. Insane person.
And I love
Anthony
it.
Edwards,
he's
who,
the best. Whooping.
Anthony Edwards, who just for no reason made a homophobic Instagram last summer. No one. It was like literally the meme of like no one colon empty Anthony Edwards. I don't like gays. Wait, what? But so, you know, if you're, it's like a video. The joke is like it's like a video game character where like if you get 100 points in one area, you're gonna have zero in another one.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So that's kind of how life works. The joke. Woody Allen, 100 points for filmmaking and comedy. And the angels were like, but God, that's not going to leave any points for not fucking his family.
Are the angels the ones who dole out the points?
They, well, in my logic, sure.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that. The angels are on the show up there.
Yeah.
The angels
they're like, what are we going to do with this Ron Jeremy kid? He seems to be short. The big dick yes. angels. God bless.
That's how it works. And then he was a sexual assaulter.
Yeah. God had a stroke just eating spaghetti. Like, God doesn't run the family anymore. It's all the captains running it.
Figurehead.
That's correct. Capos.
Anything else you'd like to point people toward? You have your Blocks podcast as well.
Oh yeah, the Block podcast. Let's put it all toward Crazy Good on Netflix. We're gonna put all our points toward Crazy Good on Netflix. Everything else or the other Netflix specials, but really Crazy Good. I'd like to get into the top 10 and stay there for a week and a half.
There it is.
Is that the goal? Is that the internal goal? Is Robbie Pratt hitting you up like we gotta goal. Stay top 10?
That's my internally the number, the metrics we're looking at internally are a week and a half in the top 10.
Fantastic. We hope you get there, man. You're so funny.
I hope so. Thank you.
I think you will. My name is Ian Carmel, at Ian Carmel on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all those places. Pre-order my book, T-Shirt Swim Club, a memoir about being fat in 13 stories with my little sister, a doctor of psychology, coming in after every chapter and sort of analyzing what I was talking about.
I'd like to say now, Ian has sent me the book and I have not read it.
Yeah.
Pretty great. Yeah. Must That's feel actually, pretty
this,
good.
This was kind of a gotcha moment.
Yep.
I've pre-ordered the book and I imagine I will not read it for quite some time as I haven't read a book in about 3 years.
I came to you saying, hey, I know you're super busy. Can I send you this anyway? Like being like, if you got the time, fantastic. If not,
what's
fantastic.
Sad is I
That's
sold
how you sent it,
it
to me.
I sold it on eBay for 99 cents. That's what's sad. Not only did I not read it, I fucking sold it at a loss for you and me.
It's not a bad price.
And now it's on the streets. Now everybody knows about it.
It's more than the author usually gets. So that's fantastic.
No, that's pretty sweet.
It's all right. We got quotes from Seth Meyers, Roxane Gay, you know, with Shea Serrano. We're doing all right.
Oh, that's pretty good.
We are missing one big space.
The it's big just NB. Like, was it for the quote?
Puff
was
Daddy.
I didn't realize it was for the quote.
I was trying to get that blurb, baby. I was trying to get that NB blurb.
I didn't realize that.
Blurb.
My fault. I didn't realize
that. I just made some shit up.
Oh, cool. You AI'd it?
This makes my stand-up
AI,
look like
AI
this is
Neil
so,
Brennan did?
AI Neil Brennan. What? We had ChatGPT.
Write a blurb as Neil Brennan. Yeah.
It's this book makes my stand-up look like shit. Neil Brennan.
This will be in the top 10 for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks. Shout out Robbie Pratt. What do I got coming? Oh, pre-order super help. So if you're going to get the book, I would love if you pre-ordered it, and I appreciate you either way. Come see me on the road. I'll be at Moon Tower Comedy Festival, April 17th through the 20th. David Borey and I will be at, oh wait, even before that, I will be at the Vermont Comedy Club in Burlington, Vermont, May 2nd through the 4th. And then David and I will be at Comedy on State, May 9th through the 11th.
Get yourself some of these hoodies.
Get some of those Comedy on State hoodies.
So you got something to wear.
So we can all be here like we're smoking cigarettes outside of the store. It's going to be great. And then come see the AFE tour. And then I'm going to be opening for Ellen DeGeneres on the road. So if you want to come see me and Ellen DeGeneres, get tickets to Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, go to Netflix as a joke. See me there. Go to the website.
Oh, yeah. Go see David.
Go to the website.
Shout out to David.
That's it.
Shout out, David.
Now, we've danced around the topic all podcasts so far, so let's get right into it. We are here to fantasy draft stand-up comedy specials. All of the stand-up comedy specials are in play, except for Neil's. We're going to take Neil's off the board right now and just assume that those are picks one, two, and three.
Those would have been the top. Yeah, those would have been, and four. I mean, I'm just saying.
It's Akeem Olajuwon, Sam Bowie. Akeem Olajuwon, Sam Bowie, Michael Jordan. Neil, you tell us which one is Sam Bowie.
Over my dead body.
The way we determine the order of this draft is through a rollicking game of rock, paper, scissors played between the three of you, and we throw on shoot. Here we go. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Unnatural. Oh,
David wins in unnatural victory, paper against two scissors. David
doesn't
is the winner.
Scissors beat paper?
Odd person out.
We've devised a three-person game of rock, paper, scissors where the person who throws something unique...
I don't give a shit. Go.
...wins. I'm going to get into it a little deeper, actually.
Explain.
We were inspired by No Exit by... David, as the winner of rock, paper, scissors, it is incumbent upon you to determine the order of today's draft. Before you do that, I will remind you, it's a serpentine draft.
And what is that?
That's a great question.
Like, if you're trying to find a seat... Let's say you're going in to watch someone film a stand-up special, and you're trying to find your seat. And there's all those rows. And so you go, it's empty. You're the first person in there. So you go and you're like, I'm just going to walk down and see if I find it. You don't really look it. So you walk down one whole row of seats. It's not there. You're like, oh man, it's J, not K. So you go over to J. Then you walk all the way down that. And you're like, I was reading K wrong. It's L. And then, you know, you go to L, walk all the way down. Then you decide it's M actually. And then you walk into like M15 and there you take a seat. So just kind of back
everyone
and forth.
Everyone just turn this podcast off. Everyone just turned this podcast off and they were like, you know what? Let me focus on work.
I think they got a serpentine draft at least. At least better they know what that is now.
they turned it off because they're like, wow, he's so thoroughly explained what a serpentine draft is that I feel they don't need so to know satisfied. Anymore. They're gonna go to the ocean and think about God.
And basically, she will appreciate it.
Very nice.
Ally.
If you pick fourth in the first round, you pick first in the second round. David, with that in mind, what will the order of today's draft be?
I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to go me, Ian, Neil, Sean.
Ooh. Holy shit.
David,
I don't
Ian,
know what to do.
Neil, Sean is the order of that draft. And we're going to get to the first pick right after this short break.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Now, it's allergy season. I'm not surprising anybody by saying that. And your boy gets hit extremely hard when it comes to the allergies. I get stuffy nose, feels like I got two blocks of cheese hanging out under my eyes. And then if I try to blow my nose, it just feels like I backed it all up into my brain. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. It is designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better, which is key. I try to like blow my nose before I go to bed at night, and it just feels like I got like a bunch of 5 o'clock traffic sitting in my brain. There's like no way out. And with Claritin D, it just helps everything. It helps grease the wheels, helps loosen everything up so I can get it out. I can sleep well. I don't have a raspy voice all the time. It's just a very beneficial thing, especially if you use your voice for anything like talking or eating, or if you want to use your head for thinking, anything like that. Claritin D has got you. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It is time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. This episode of All Fantasy Everything is brought to you by Mack Weldon. Now, we are extremely outspoken for our love for Mack Weldon on this show. I can't get enough of it. I have, I think, 7 pairs of Mack Weldon pants, all different colors. It's such a good way to dress comfortably, casually, but also very nice. I find that a lot of guys, they think to look nice, you can't also look comfortable. It is possible to do it, though. Mack Weldon makes such good, comfortable, nice, form-fitting clothing and performance fabrics for guys who just want to look and feel like they look nice. You know what I mean? Without sacrificing comfort. They have a full range of clothes. They never go out of style. Like I said, I have probably 7 pairs of pants. I have 3 pairs of the Ace sweatpants, which just fit perfectly. They honestly make you look like you're one of the models. The underwear I have, they're not just the skimpy ones that they go down your leg a little bit, which, you know, I'm old enough to admit I want that. I have a couple nice like stretchy t-shirts and the polo shirts. I'm telling you, the polo shirts are so nice to put on. You just feel like a professional golfer immediately, but you look cool, much unlike a lot of professional golfers. I'm telling you, I love them. And like I was saying, some people just want to look, you know, good and comfortable without calling attention to themselves. And that is exactly where Mack Weldon comes in. The performance fabric is breathy, but it doesn't look techie. You know, it doesn't have that like shine. You're not going to look like a high school football coach who's trying too hard. You're going to look exactly how you think you're going to look in your mind, like the Matrix, that residual self-image. That's what you're going to have. I'm telling you, I swear by it. Go poke around on the website. You will find something that you like. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com. You get 20% off your first order with the promo code ALLFANTASY. Again, that's MackWeldon.com, promo code ALLFANTASY.
And we're back. Welcome back to All Fantasy Everything, the only podcast that has ever existed, except, of course, for Blocks with Neil Brennan. But those are the two. David Bory, we are drafting stand-up comedy specials. What is your first pick?
I got to say Elephant in the Room. Yeah. Come on, man. It came out. I had been doing comedy, like, I think a year when it came out. And I didn't, like, grow up particularly liking stand-up comedy. Something was lost on the delivery in me. I was like, I always felt it sounded really corny. And that was the first special I saw. I was like, oh, this guy's just talking. And it's amazing. He does crowd work up front, which is a wild move. And it was just like all those bits. I think it's the most polished work he put out. It's like I have kind of specials of his that I watch more or whatever. But that one was just, it was the first stand-up comedy special I ever saw. I was like, oh, it's like perfect.
Dude, what specials of his do you watch more?
The first one with the white trash can rapist. Where he buys a receipt for everything. Yeah, yeah, I think that one is
Do the half hours count?
I think the half hours count.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially like, because like so many like premium blends and shit you want. But yeah, I watched that one more, but that is just like, it's just like a perfect work. It's like him at the top of his game, I feel like. And yeah, I love that special, man.
Mm-hmm.
And to wear that hat and not sweat and be that size.
And that jacket down to his knees.
Leather?
That is pounds and pounds of leather.
It's a heavy leather.
I mean, it's just so much leather. I want to see how heavy it is. It's got to be like 15, 20 pounds of leather.
It had to be like a 40-pound jacket. Absolutely.
It was big. It was a 3X leather peacoat. But yeah, Elephant in the Room, man.
Spell restaurant. I still every time I can't
take
spell it, which is every time.
take his socks.
I think spell restaurant's the worst bit in the hour.
Oh, I love it.
I love it so much. I love it.
Oh,
I don't think it's the best bit, but I love it.
I think it's the worst bit in the Natalie Holloway hour.
I mean, is that saying something like it's the worst bit and it's still dope, or you don't like it at all?
I don't like Chris Rock's Robitussin bit.
I don't like that bit either, actually. That's funny you should say that.
It's just kind of like, I don't know, it just doesn't feel, as good as everything else in it. Feels like a filler. Relative to the other shit. I have two Patrice stories. I probably have many Patrice stories, but
our producer
one of them
is making
us
say Patrice O'Neal.
Patrice O'Neal
is the stand-up, in case anyone doesn't know. Go ahead. He's
the only person to ever call, well, not the only person, but call me to say I was funny. I opened for him one time, man. And he just called me like a couple days later and was like, yo, man, you're funny. So that's incredibly nice. And I try to do that whenever I can. And the other thing, and then another time,
weird. We've worked together quite a few times. And you never,
I specifically remember. No, but I feel like I did tell you.
No, you did. I'm joking. You were very nice.
That'll put gas in someone's tank, though. It's such a good move because that will get you through years, probably, of like struggling and thinking it's not whatever, you know.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to get that tap.
When you're bombing in front of six people, you're like, fucking Neil said I was funny.
Also, when the headliner reaches out to you and you open, that's a good feeling. I don't do it. I more reach out like, you got chicken fingers last night and they're going to hit me for that.
Did you enjoy it?
I'm trying to come back.
They made Venmo.
Six bucks later. It's cool. It's not a big deal.
And then the other one is probably after that, I was doing a pilot and I wanted Patrice to be in it. And I called him and was like, hey, man. If we put you in this pilot, are you going to be an asshole? And then we argued for 2.5 hours. And then at the end of which he goes, you know what, Neil? I can't promise you I'm not going to be an asshole.
Did you put him in it?
No. And then like 2 months later, he called to apologize because he realized, because he had done a pilot and there was somebody on set who was just being kind of an asshole. And he, because my thing was like, Patrice, you know how fucking hard it is to do a TV show?
Yeah.
And I was like, if someone's around that has bad energy, you want to kill them. And then he realized that I was kind of right. He thought I was a bitch at first. And then he realized I was.
Was it scripted or?
Yeah, it was scripted.
Scripted. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So pretty great.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
Pretty what great. Was the,
what was the role he would have played in the sitcom? Do you remember?
I don't know. Whatever. Him, himself.
Patrice O'Neill as
yeah, yeah.
teacher.
He was whatever. A doctor. He same was jacket. An archaeologist. No, he's fucking an asshole.
Dr. Patrice.
What role? Dr. You've Patrice. Been fucking, I mean, you've been trying to do showbiz too long. What was the role? Who gives a shit, Ian?
What was the role? I'm trying to find our breakout, man. I'm trying to find the video that's going to travel on the internet.
And oh, I want you to be like, and that's how you do it.
Patrice was up for the role of blank.
And oh, then it's yes.
Like, and then we all do a face like this that we put in the thumbnail.
Well, no, he did a sketch on Chappelle's Show and then just wouldn't do it again. And I was like, and I was basically like, what's wrong with you? And he just didn't like playing support.
It's amazing when someone knows, even at an early point where they're just
yeah,
like.
Yeah, that would be. God, I can't even imagine.
I can't turn shit down. I mean, obviously.
I would be. I'd be like, yeah, of course.
No, but he's like, he just didn't like. He didn't like not being the star, I think.
Yeah.
Or that was my interpretation.
That makes sense.
Man.
But also for someone to know that, like at an early age, when it's like, it would help me to have like these little supporting roles that would build my career up. That's like both an interesting sort of self-respect and self-destruction at the same time.
For sure.
Yeah, that he couldn't bring himself to do it.
Yeah.
That was first on the list too for me. Oh, darn it.
That was your going to be your first pick?
That was your mm-hmm. first pick?
Second. The first one, I don't know if it counts, so we'll see.
This is tough. I'm going to go with Bring the Pain by Chris Rock.
That's a good pick. That's solid.
Yeah, man.
These are the RST-NLE. These are the RST-NLE of
yeah.
comedy.
You
got
to knock them out in the first round. It's almost like, it's almost pointless to talk about, but I used to.
Did you like watch it when it was new?
I watched it when it was new. I used to be like, I had no idea you could become a stand-up comedian, but I used to be like kind of obsessed with stand-up comedy as a thing to put on like when I was falling asleep. Like I couldn't fall asleep without listening to people talk.
How old?
From when I can remember. It started with sports radio.
Interesting.
And then it turned into like stand-up. You know what? I maybe did not see it in 1996. I probably didn't see it when I was 12. But around like 1999, and especially when like Napster and all that stuff came around where you could like mm-hmm. download people's full specials and everything.
Right.
This was one of the ones I would listen to on loop coming out. It's just so fucking funny.
That one has no bad bits in it.
There's no bad bits.
Yes.
Yeah. Amazing. They're like the OJ stuff. I mean, like, I don't know. Mary and Barry stuff. It was just. I don't know. I really, really loved it. It was fantastic.
I love
fantastic.
You as a kid being like, I love this Mary and Barry. I love a disgraced mayor.
I was a little nerd. Yeah. I was like a little nerd.
So I did a comedy. First time I did stand-up was a contest, and I did terrible, but I made it through because I brought so many people who voted for me, and I hadn't written
you
any actual
that
jokes.
Guy. Everybody loves
yeah.
that guy.
Oh, yeah.
So I rented that at Blockbuster and I watched it for like motivation before the next time I did stand up.
Did you take any bits?
Were you like, I can't remember. Is it the one with the I'll shake her? Like I won't hit a girl, but I'll shake the shit out of him. Is that in there or is that a different one?
I don't remember. That's either that one or Bigger and Blacker.
Because I rented them both. I touched on that bit when I did my next stand up set. Because I didn't. I was like,
what's the Sioux Falls crowd going to really? What do they need to hear me say?
Yeah, I hate admitting
it was the shake one.
It was
the shake one, and it was right before the infamous bit.
Well, that was his opener.
Well, I was like, which one of these can I use? Which one of these can I touch on?
Yeah.
No, but I'm getting like, I'm sweating saying that out loud. It's just such an embarrassing thing, but I just didn't have any, I just was lost. I didn't know what to do. And so I tried to do a version of it and it was terrible, but I won the contest.
I love it when comedians do famous bits and think nobody is ever.
I can't remember.
I saw a guy do that Chris Rock bit in Oakland one time. He was bombing and he just did, there's two type of black people. And I was like, you think nobody in here knows? What the fuck are you doing, bro?
Well, I thought of it before I saw it.
But then I looked in his eyes, he was panicking. You could see how you see that sometimes? Like when you see like Nick Cannon do stand up or something and in his eyes, he's like, That's like what the guys do. Still a good comic, though. This guy's a good geek. You probably know him now. But yeah.
Who Among Us?
Yeah, I haven't done that. Just because it's such a famous bit, bro.
Yeah.
Well, you've all done the thing where you think you wrote it and then you I thought I wrote a bit 4 years ago that was just a Seinfeld bit. And I did it. I was like, huh, you know, you have that like nagging feeling.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's the worst.
And you text all your friends and they're like, I don't know.
The thing about business class and coach with the curtain.
Uh-huh.
I did it once and I was like, I don't know. So then I just Googled it and was like, oh, this is a Jerry Seinfeld bit.
The good thing is that shit's always in the pit of your stomach though. When you do it, there's always something where you're like, this isn't me for some reason.
I did a whole bit, some shit about the word like fiance versus wife that I did like for a while and like almost did on late night. And then like, I was like, I fucking know somebody did this. And it was John Mulaney, like in a big special. And I'm like, oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. But it made it past the late night guy. He was like, this is great. I love this. And I was like, fantastic. I guess nobody.
Yeah.
I just came up with.
It made it past the stringent late night TV.
The overworked taste, producer who got moved to that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They don't have an encyclopedic memory of everyone's bits.
That's what I was hoping.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to balance my presence on this podcast because I don't want to be like, do you want to hear some Bring the Pain stories?
Of course we do.
Yeah.
I know, but I don't know. I will say an interesting thing was Rock always thought Bigger and Blacker was better. And he's like, it sold more DVDs. And I was like, Rock, you're out of your mind. It's not even close. And he called me before he went on his last tour. So I don't know, 2 years ago, and goes, I just watched Bring the Pain. You were right. And he goes, I didn't realize I was NWA. He's like, I was NWA.
The first one's the hit.
Yeah. I'm trying to tell you, that's unbelievable. Yeah. It's an unbelievable achievement. There's a thing like where you reach your escape velocity, you know, like when a rocket and like you have to get so fast you can get through the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Bring the Pain did that for Chris. SNL did that for Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
Nutty Professor and Bring the Kill Him Softly and Chappelle Show did that for Dave. Like there's certain things that are just like I showed Bring the Pain and Ray Romano's Pilot to Dave in 1996 on the same day. And I remember walking out of my house like literally like cartoon.
That's so sick.
Like, and he was like, I feel like I just got hit in the head with a 2x4.
Yeah.
Cause he was like, they were all peers, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, fucking nuts.
Which is bonkers.
Like now your buddies are doing that. Was that for Everybody Loves Raymond? Not 1996, was it? Would it have been?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ray Romano's got a big house.
Yeah, dude.
Big house.
Bro, I would put Ray Romano. I mean, I'm not gonna look, it's not my turn. Is it my turn?
It is your turn.
It is your turn, in fact.
Yeah, go ahead. Pick.
Well, I'm gonna do something pretty controversial. I'm going to say, since we're talking about Ray Romano, I'm going to say Ray Romano's Letterman, followed by Ray Romano's Johnny Carson Tonight Show, he did it within like 4 or 5 months. They're both perfect.
Wait, can we pick late night sets? Because I got to change my list then.
Fuck it. Why not? I like it. Yeah.
I got some late night sets.
Fine with me. I remember, like, oh, yeah, yeah. Anyway, keep going, Neil.
He did the thing dangling the keys on Letterman. I mean, he just fucking crushes on both. And they're so close together, and he's not famous.
I have to admit, I have not seen either of them.
I haven't seen either of them.
I imagine I've seen him, but I can't remember.
He got the... I mean, it's weird that, like, Ray Romano was on Johnny Carson. You know what I mean? Like, it just, like, it's not Jay Leno. It's Johnny Carson.
Right. The timelines don't feel like they should line
up. Yeah.
Like, here's another one that's funny. Chris Rock and Martin Luther King were both alive at the same time.
Yeah, that doesn't seem
for
right.
3 years, they were both alive.
Oh, fuck. I guess that makes sense.
You never think about that stuff, though. That's crazy to put in that timeline. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris is born in 67 or so. I don't remember. 65. I don't really even know. But
did they know each other?
They actually worked the same clubs. Yeah.
I knew Chris started early.
Who do you think gave him the idea for the bit?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, MLK there's two types of people I'm marching for.
There's two types of black people.
Two types of people I'm marching for.
So I'm going to put, I don't know why, I feel like I've opened up, but I'm putting those two mini, if we're doing a half hour, it's
sure.
Let's do it. Yeah. Did he have his kids at that point?
Yeah.
So was that what he was joking about?
Definitely like the second and one.
Yeah.
Jay and May Romano.
Yeah. Again, I'm so, Neil, how old are you? I'm so old. I remember when Ray Romano got fired from news radio and replaced by Joe Rogan.
Ha,
that's
what?
Crazy. Who's like Ray Romano that we could throw in here? Yeah.
Neil, how old are you? I remember watching Ray Romano at a place called the Boston Comedy Club in 1992 or 3, crush, and looking at somebody and being like, he's so funny, I wonder what's going to happen to him.
He's going to get a big house.
That's always a good feeling when you see someone and you're like, that's not the last we're going to see of that guy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you don't know. You're never, you know, we've all seen people crush and have like magical sets and then they just, nothing happens.
I was looking through all of the Presents last. I looked through all 15 seasons of Comedy Central Presents and there were a lot of people on there where I was like, oh, I completely, not to sound harsh, but like I haven't heard the name in 15 years, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys who had a year.
Yeah.
You never saw me.
There was this guy, Matt Fulcheron, who's still out doing stand-up, but like I remember his special, I'm like, that dude's got it.
It's on this
Fulcheron
list.
Was hilarious. Fulcheron was one of my, has said one of my favorite things ever about comedy. He got off stage and he said, doing stand-up is like selling bags of shit. That's all.
You noodle that around, but yeah, he ain't.
Yeah, he might have said it. He might have said, it's so hard. It's like selling bags of shit.
Yeah.
So full charge was his name. He opened for Tasha for a long time. He might still. He's really fucking funny.
So much. We brought him to Portland to do this show that we used to run. And if for some reason, like 8 people showed up and I was so bummed out because it was like a door deal and I handed him, I think $40 or something. I was like, here you go, man. It's such a harsh feeling. Cause at the time I didn't have the means to make up for it. Even I couldn't like sweeten the pot out of my pocket. It just didn't exist. And I was like, sorry. He was so cool about it. He's like, whatever. It was fun, but he's great. That's special.
Yeah.
We might talk
hilarious
about it.
Hilarious person. Yep.
Ray Romano's first two. Ray Romano's Letterman, Ray Romano's Carson.
Yeah.
John Jordan.
Carson was first and Letterman is how he got the sitcom.
And how about Phil Rosenthal?
What's this? This is Everybody Loves Raymond. This is a good show. So, can I do this? Can I say the Kings of Comedy?
Yeah, I think so.
I get so many people, but it's the special I'm most familiar with, the one I've seen the most. I just cover to cover. It's just ridiculous to me.
That was the first comedy special I ever took in at the time, like when it came out. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing ads for it and people talking about it and having opinions and then like seeing it. It was one of the first DVDs I had.
Mm-hmm. I rented it a bunch. I mean, like multiple times where it's like, it's just perfect. It's so fun. So different. You get four like really different styles. You get to see a really good host, like a really good job hosting something like that, which usually doesn't really go that well.
You see the Cedric bit Kat says he stole?
Yeah, where do you guys fall on?
Which bit did he say he stole?
It's like, I mean, Cedric's bit is so much bigger than what Kat's bit was.
The spaceship
and backing it up and all that shit.
Uh-huh. By the way, I'm not going to say who texted who, but Apparently, it's a pig meat Markham joke from the 60s. Another guy had done it in the 60s. Yeah. Like,
yeah, so, there's no original thoughts anymore, right? That whole thing where it's like someone's probably done it.
The whole seven stories kind of thing. Yeah. I mean,
I will say I like Cedric's bit better than Kat's bit because Kat just did it on like Comic View, right? And then I like the Cedric bit a lot. I think that bit's
so
fun.
Animated. I mean, all of it is just, especially Ced's part, like just so like looking for the lighter. I mean, it's just so funny. The running, it's just
Bernie
so
Mac
animated.
Bernie Mac goes crazy.
Oh yeah,
Bernie
dude.
Mac goes crazy.
And just like
DL had some hits.
If we're taking if we're taking the whole special, like the behind the scenes, you get all that stuff. Like that's part of the special. It's just so fun to see him. Just like, I don't know, it was sick. It was
Bernie
like
Mac
time.
Asking for a TV show.
Yep.
Steve Harvey has that great bit about listening to hip hop and the lyrics, like "I'll wet you." And yeah. He's like, I don't wet. I don't even know what his reaction is, but "I'll wet you" is such a funny thing to be like, come on, with the fucking "I'll wet you."
I mean, the whole interaction
also the
with
crowd
Boogie.
Work. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he said, what do you do? He said, I do computers.
Computer school. He goes, computer school.
He says computers and technology. And he was like, what? He was like, I go to computer school.
Yeah. And he goes, Boogie, ain't nothing technical.
And also directed by Spike Lee, which could have been overly fussy or like sort of not fussy, but like he could have made it more about him. Not like Spike would ever do that. But the cutaways to people posing in front of the backdrop, all that shit was like. Oh, that's Southern Blackness right there. Like, there's a little fucking capture. He's just captured a thing that most white people are completely unfamiliar with and, like, made it, didn't make a big deal of it, just like, here's that, and move to the next thing.
Wait, who's your favorite set on it?
Probably Bernie, I think.
Same.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it goes over to Cedric, but Bernie, like, just every single time, I'm like, laughing. Like for real, you know, like every single time. So, yeah.
Have you guys ever met Cedric?
No, yeah. God.
He's the fastest bit person, one of the fastest bit people I've ever been around. Like if you start doing a bit, he'll be there like in the outfit.
Yeah.
Riff wise.
Right.
He's like Fred Armisen and I swear to God, like doesn't shock me every time, but it's just not a thing I thought about him before I met him. And then whenever I hang out with him, he'll have a really funny observation or he'll do a response that's fucking lightning fast.
I can see that.
When we, you know, we did like a ton of sketches and like in studio stuff on the Late Late Show, and we did one with him, and it was the least I'd have to explain a bit to anyone the entire time. Where you're just like, he'd read the script, and I was like, so it's like this, and he was like, yeah, and then went out and like out of the park the first time.
One time I was talking about stool fucking, and I go, Cedric, you ever fuck the stool? And he goes, you know, goddamn right I have, Neil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know goddamn well I fucked the stool. You know that. Please. Fucking please. Don't insult me. Wyatt Cenac had wanted to make a short film about a guy who fucked the stool and fell in love.
That would have been dope.
That's the one thing you can't do.
Yeah, because all your friends also fucked her.
Oh, yeah.
I know. It's hard. It's not easy. Yeah, that might be a short that's crowded wedding. Theory. Might be better in theory than, or you know what I mean? Like, it's a better, perfect pitch.
Better story.
I don't need to watch it. I think that's the best version of it.
It's the script that gets you the meeting for the thing that does get produced.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't turn a stool into a love seat. We've all learned that.
Love seat. All right.
The suit, also just a special mention just for all of the outfits in that special.
Oh, dude. All the suit?
All the suits.
Phenomenal
the
work.
And the background.
Two kinds of amazing material in that special.
Yes, there are.
Sed had a sleeveless suit.
Yeah.
Which is on paper sounds like some redneck shit. But
they all went smooth. Full. They all went full Dick Tracy.
Yeah,
they did.
Fantastic.
Spike Lee and Warren Beatty produced it. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic.
All right, Sean, time for your second pick.
Brian Regan, I Walked on the Moon. for me. It's again with the animation. It's just like when
is
I watch
that
Brian
the one
Regan,
that's at the improv.
Yeah, it's the one where he. Oh god, he's got so many, and I was trying to get my ducks in a row last night. But it's obviously it ends with the you know, I walked on. It's Aaron Ralston like at a party. Or, no, Jesus, I'm mixing it up. It's at a party with the guy that walked on the moon, and then someone like explaining their day, and he's like, "I walked on the moon." But it's got that bit about like you go to the get medication, and they lord over you. Or you're at the doctor's office, like, "You didn't do what I said, did you?" And he's like, "No." Just all of that. Like my cholesterol. I went to the doctor. My cholesterol is the same. Figured it was going to be the same because it was high last year, and I didn't do anything different.
Also, everything. If you watch that, I watched that special. Not long ago, he did my podcast, and I basically just made him do a bunch of his bits because
he's the best.
Because I didn't want to have to clear them, so I just made them do it. And he's like, and I was like, I own the bit now, you idiot. And he was like, what? He was great. It was fantastic.
So Regan, I've seen him probably four times. Every time he does an hour that I've never seen, and then he'll come out and he'll do 30-45 minutes of requests, which is crazy. And also, he was in Portland. And his tour manager, road manager, lives here or something, and texted. And he's like, hey, Brian wants to hang out with some comedians. So we went to Helium because he just wanted some people there that were comedians. And he walked up to me and our buddy, Zach. And he was like, you guys comedians? You look like comedians. And we were like, yeah. And he goes, you want some tequila? I was like, yes. And we just took a shot with Brian Regan. And then he just talked to us. You know, the guy's like one of my favorite comedians that'll ever live. And it just didn't matter. He was so nice, so cool. It was just such a fun experience. And he's just the absolute best. So for me, I didn't know if Brian Regan Live was actually a visual special. So I would have picked that, but I don't think it was ever like a visual thing. So I walked on the moon, Brian Regan, second pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish he would do one of those, like, I'm telling you for the last time type specials.
Yeah,
because like even that special from the improv, the I Walked on the Moon, he is crushing within 3.5 minutes. I stopped it and I was like, he's getting like shrieks in 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, that's wild.
And then he does girth units. He does like, I showed it to my girlfriend who's British. She was dying and she's like, I have to show my parents and they died. British old people.
Squeaky clean too. I mean, like it's just something I can't do. It's my brain. I don't have that gear. And that's, a lot of these, that's what I look at where I'm like, oh, man, you just look at it like it's impossible for me to do.
He's one of those, you know, when people say like you need to be able to crush in any room?
Uh-huh.
Stand-up comedian. Brian Regan is a you can crush in any room comedian.
Like, yeah, by the way, there's like five of those people. There's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you should be able to crush and are you a real one? And it's like, no one can crush that much.
Nobody can fucking crush in like every room. But like who, I mean, it's like Brian Regan.
Burr can crush in every room. Dave can crush in every room. Rock can crush in every room.
It's funny thinking about Brian Regan hanging out with those other three. But I think Brian Regan gets after it a little bit. He gets in the bag a little bit from what I've heard.
Brian in his special in top five in his movie.
Oh, that's right.
He was in the trailer.
Say it again. Put a little stank on it. That was funny.
A little stank on it.
Anyway, second choice, Brian Regan.
Neil, your second pick.
My second pick. I almost feel like I shouldn't pick Dave or Chris just because it's like, you know, it feels a little close to home.
You don't think they're funny?
Although, you know what? I'll go with Killing Them Softly by Dave. And I think I was at the taping.
That's sick.
The thing that he always says is, it was the worst performance of that hour.
Really?
I know what he means because that happened to me recently, like where I was crushing, and then the taping was like fine. And it's still good, whatever. But used to just crushing. And he was like, I was crushing. And then somebody else confirmed it. Was like, that wasn't even a good response to it.
Did he tape one? Did he only tape one set?
He did it twice, but like,
yeah, but still,
you know, but it's got like Gotcha
Bitch. What
year is
it? It's like 2000?
Yeah, I think it's 2000.
Right? Yeah, 99, 2000.
It's got like Gotcha Bitch. It's got It's just got a lot of good. It's like pound for pound. Yeah, like,
I didn't. Yeah, I didn't know just, I couldn't do that. Yeah. I said, "Chip."
Sometimes
no.
You gotta rape. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was too late. This man was high as shit.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just a lot of really good bits.
Yeah, like, dude.
Every bit thing. Is a good bit.
Yeah, it's like that's one of the ones that if you do comedy, everybody.
Yeah.
This is the general consensus, right? It's like it's hilarious.
Just the first, yep. Like, you know, we've all had a dick out there that we wish we didn't suck, and I bet it wasn't President's dick. Shit like that. I bet it was that Kenny, one. Yeah, Kenny, yeah, from yeah, Safeway, yeah. Kenny from Safeway Shoes or whatever he says, and you're like, yeah. It's just that stuff where it just, like, hits you
I
like a 2x4.
I referenced that joke yesterday as, like, Bill Clinton and, like, you, get in here. Like, it's like, you're a goddamn American hero. Like, So many good bits. And, like, yeah, was he aroused? He goes full fucking Bugs Bunny on most of the punchlines.
Yeah, all of them. That whole, like, he finds the Pepe Le Pew, you know, the like all the Sesame Street stuff is yep. So funny.
Is Bugs Bunny like a conscious reference for him? Is he like,
no, but I yeah. pointed it out to him at one point. And he was like, yeah. Fuck, you're right.
Yeah.
He's Bugs Bunny.
He's Bugs Bunny. Full Mel Blanc, even like kind of lanky like Bugs Bunny. Fucking
the same. He is Bugs Bunny.
That's all in there too. Forgot about that.
Yeah. Like, yeah, like he just is Bugs Bunny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. Hell yeah. Perfect.
Excellent.
God bless. Yeah. Yep.
Man, it's really breaking my heart that we are 6 picks deep and not a single Jewish person has been taken yet.
Well, maybe look in the mirror, bud.
I'm sorry. I don't have a special yet. And there aren't any other Jewish stand-up comedians.
I want to pick me on Conan.
I got to go, though. But you got to be, let's be honest, I'm sure Jews produced all of them.
Absolutely. Oh, we had our fingers in every single one of these specials.
Pauline, you're getting a little taste, huh?
Just a little taste.
when your beak a little bit.
Yeah. We haven't been kept out completely, just in the shadows.
Yeah, please.
Lurking. I mean, you got a chance, right? Isn't it your turn?
I can't go full. How many rounds have we done?
We've done.
We're in the middle of two.
We're going
we'll
to have to speed up. Yeah, we'll be done by now. We know you're
I know,
we know
it's
you're
hard. I keep going like, I have a story.
I want to talk forever about this.
It's fantastic.
Who, me? Why I'm old.
I remember when Millard Fillmore. I'm going to take my favorite stand-up comedy special ever. I could probably get it later, but I just want, it's just so important to me. I'm taking Dress to Kill Eddie Izzard. Now Susie Izzard, but Susie doesn't mind going by Eddie Izzard. It is, I've told the story so many times, but it was like such an eye-opening special for me. I had food poisoning and a terrible sunburn wrapped up like a mummy on a couch in Mexico when I was like 14 years old.
I love it.
And this came on HBO and it was like, what? Like, I'd seen stand-up before, but I was such a little, like, nerdy, book-reading, like, history-obsessed kid. And none of the stand-up I'd ever seen, like, really, like, touched on that kind of thing before. And then I saw this, and I was, like, funny about all the kinds of things that I was, like, kind of interested in. And it was so stupid and so smart at the same time. And, I mean, I can recite so many of the bits just, like, verbatim. I still watch it all the time. But it just threw a switch in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately. And not one where I was like, I'm going to do that, but one where I was like, that's the best you can be at this. I just fucking love it. It's so funny.
I love, when first of all, you're give him his ally points, guys. Thank give you. Him his ally well points. Here you go.
Much.
Here you go.
Much.
Are you
he's going, doing the money thing? I was clapping. I thought that's what ally points were.
Can I tell a story? A ghost. And sorry, can I tell a story and you guys cut this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So 3 weeks ago, I saw Sandler. And somebody brought up his comedy albums. And I've known Sandler like since the 90s. And so I was like, Sandler, did those comedy albums like go platinum? And Sandler 3 weeks ago goes, a billionaire.
Yeah.
I think you don't have to cut that. That's actually like, wanted to make sure you didn't sound like it. But it's funny when you've known someone long enough that like the money they made, it's still like, that's the money that counted. Yeah. Now it's all just stupid.
Right.
But that's money he needed.
That that money paid old bills. Like, that's that kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, when am I getting the check for that thing?
Yeah, he earned some of that money for somebody else, you know?
Now it's all like LLCs and offshores and all that shit.
Yeah.
But like, this is like, fuck yeah.
The money he's making now won't be spent for four generations.
Nope, sure won't.
Yeah, man.
His daughter was super. Both of his daughters were great. Yeah, they were both great.
That movie was really good. I liked it.
That movie was phenomenal. Yeah. Eddie Izzard. If you want to hear me talk about it, listen to the entirety of this podcast going back 300 episodes. It's so fucking good. David, time for your second and third picks.
Second pick, I got to take Pimp Chronicles Part 1.
Fuck! Oh, damn
it. That shit was amazing. That special was so amazing because, like, the way it came out, like, I remember the first time I saw it, I was getting my hair cut. I was at Rumors. And then, like, I don't even know what that special came out on. I don't know what the distribution, I don't know if it was a Showtime special or an, I don't know what the fuck it was, but it was everywhere. Yeah. It was like that and Lil Wayne was all I consumed for maybe a fucking year. And it was just like, from the beginning, so funny. It was just like, I really love that special. I think he's one of the few comics that still everything makes me laugh out and loud.
I can still hear.
What?
I don't think you said who it was.
Oh, Cat Williams.
Yeah, just so we have it.
Yeah, Cat.
Saying
Cat
the word Williams. Everything cracks me up.
Come on.
I do it to so many people who don't
everything.
Get it. I do it all the time. So like my father-in-law doesn't get it all the time, though. We'll go to Home Depot and I'll be like, everything. And he just looks at me like I'm losing it.
And he was the only person to actually say Michael Jackson was a pedophile. Like the only black man to say, like, what are you? He's a fucking pedophile.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Come on, I don't like that, Mr. Jackson.
I quoted him in my book about stretch marks. Either way, we fucking. Either you were skinny and you got fat, or you were fat and you got skinny. Either way, we fucking. Perfect.
Man, that is, it's just like, amazing.
In eight words, however many words, he fucking nailed it.
He's the most. I tried to get Trevor Noah to do a joke at the Grammys of like, you know, we're all here, but let's be honest, the album of the year was Cat Williams on Club Shay Shay.
Yeah.
It was the song of the year. It was the album of the year. It should win an Oscar for Best Picture. It should win a Nobel Peace Prize. Like, he's the most, you know how they say the Kentucky Derby is the most exciting 90 seconds in sports?
Yeah.
Cat Williams is the most exciting. That was like, he's the most riveting. Like,
for sure.
He walks into any room on earth and everyone goes, hey, shh, let's hear him out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what he is. Let me, huh? He's fantastic.
The most exciting 4 feet in entertainment.
Yeah. He's the most exciting 90 seconds in entertainment. Like, here's an old man. You ready for an old man story?
Please.
I did an interview with like Vulture or something 5 or 6 years ago where they said like something that you like. And I said, I liked Cat's special where he talked about Jacksonville for the first 13 minutes.
Yeah.
And
they left it in.
Yeah. And then he left it in. So then I'd never met Cat. And about a year later, I meet him and I go, you know, I mentioned you in an interview. And he goes, oh, I know. I printed it out.
He printed it out?
Yeah. And he goes, it's on my kitchen wall. Because I was like,
kitchen wall.
And he goes, yes, because how often does a comedian speak well of another comedian? Which I thought all the time. And then I watched his Club Shay Shay and I was like, oh.
That's the environment he's used to.
Yes. He doesn't know the comedians speak well of each other.
No.
But a riveting, you could make a case, the most riveting stage persona in the history of the stage.
I mean,
this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, listen, we all have things that stress us out. If you don't, then hit me in the DMs. Let me know your secret. I have been trying my whole life to figure out what to do about that. We keep them bottled up. You know, it starts to affect you negatively. I don't care who you are. It just does. You take it out on people. One day it's like the dishes are piling up or whatever. And then you're having a fight over parking space. It just, they bottle up and they come out in negative ways. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest. You can figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Everybody has things that bother them. It could be your best friend in the world. It could be your partner. There's always stuff. That's just human nature. And you don't want to bottle it up. You want to tell people. Sometimes you don't want to tell the person because it doesn't really matter that much, you know, but you want to tell someone. You want to feel like you've been heard. I live in the world. I get how it is. And telling someone, it's always the best. What do you, you know what I mean? You call your best friend, you vent a little bit. You had a rough day at work, you vent. That's what therapy is. It's just somebody who lets you vent and they don't need to vent themselves. Come on, it's perfect. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is done entirely online, like a ton of things these days. It's extremely convenient. You don't got to get up. You don't got to go to the office. You don't got to sit in traffic. You just sit there on the laptop. It's convenient for you. It's flexible. We all got different schedules. You know, you're working nights. They want to work with you. They can help you out. They suit to your schedule. You just go out. You fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Sometimes you don't get the right fit right away. They want it to work just as bad as you want it to work. So give it a try. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/allfantasy today to get 10% off of your first month. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/allfantasy.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
It's hard to think of someone more. There are people like...
And quantity. Quantity. Mm-hmm. He puts shit. He's
cranking them out.
Yeah, it's always amazing. Like,
he had that special he did in Cleveland where he was like came on stage sweating.
Yeah.
There's one he takes a shower in the middle of.
Yeah. You want to, let's put that elephant in the room jacket on Kat. See how that goes.
I think I don't think we disappear. Have to.
Well, that's the lore is it was actually three cats standing on each other.
Yeah.
Excellent. And your third, well, you know what? Let's take another break before we get to your third pick, just in case. And we're back. Welcome back to All Fantasy Everything Already in Progress. David Bory, your third stand-up comedy special.
All right, this one is really personal to me because it was like, do you remember the first time you see one of your friends where you're like, mm-hmm. oh, like, not like, that's not my, it's still my friend and we talk on the phone or whatever, but that's like, you're on this, you're a comedian. What we started trying to do, you're doing it. And I was at the taping for this one. I'm taking Sam J's last one, Salute Me or Shoot Me.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was like, the material was amazing. And like, cause me and her came from, we first met, we were Comedy Central comics to watch together in like 2013 or something like that. And we were the only people from California. And I was like, oh, thank God. You know what I, and it's just like, we've been together and I talked to her a lot and like watching her put it together and tour it and then being there and being like, Sam just shot a fucking HBO special. This fucking, what? We used to fuck, you know what I mean? It was like,
I
really
remember
amazing.
Her from doing little like 5-minute sets at Bridgetown Comedy Festival. And mm-hmm. that was the person, like when I was saying earlier about seeing someone and you're like, that person's going to do something. Even then I was like, that person's going to do something.
I didn't even, I always thought she was funnier than everybody, but I didn't. I don't know. I don't think I had the, like, the wherewithal to be like, she's about to go. You know what I mean? Even when her first special came out, because if you listen to her first album at the end when somebody's talking shit, that's me. We were all drunk at her house, like, yelling about comedy. You know what I mean? And being like, oh, if this shit works, it's going to be like this. And then to watch that and to see she put so much work in it. And the set is just tight. And I love it when you watch somebody where you're like, because a lot of times I feel like you watch specials, especially having done this now, you watch specials with people and you're like, it feels like that's not exactly what they wanted to do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Or like, in somewhere it got lost in translation. And that's like, I know from knowing her, that was like, she put the time out she wanted to. And it was really great to see. So,
No, I haven't seen it.
It was good.
I don't have HBO.
I don't know.
It was good.
It was all right. It was all right.
No, I mean, and it's really also good. There's so many stand-up specials right now. But yeah, that one was was a big one to see. And like, it was one of those things where like so many people were at the taping that it was a lot of us who had come up together at the same time. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't get like a ton of moments like that, I feel like, in comedy where everybody's like, we're still here. We're still all right. So it's like,
to be around for a big deal like that. Yeah, it's a big thing.
Yeah.
With my third pick, fantastic pick. I'm going to take your pick was a fantastic pick. I'm not saying mine's about to be a fantastic pick. I'm going to take John Mulaney, New in Town.
Yeah.
It's my favorite John Mulaney. The eponymous bit is so fucking funny.
I don't know what that word means.
The one that the title is derived.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Where he talks about running into like a guy in New York, like who tried to hit him up for money. Like, I'm gay. I have AIDS. I'm new in town. It's just one of those people where like, just like the funny is dripping off of them, where it's just like the voice is funny. The bits are immaculate. There's this sense of the absurd that he can like take and spin to a mass appeal audience. It's just really, really fantastic. And I love it.
My favorite part, he goes, I saw a wheelchair that was tipped over and you like to think it was a miracle. It's just that one little line. It's he's fantastic in that. Makes me want to dress up.
I would
up.
Put him in one of my 5-minute, his Conan O'Brien from 2006. There's, you know, when you do a bit, when you the first 3 weeks you're doing it, it works better. Then it
absolutely,
and then it
you're all
settles.
Excited.
Yeah.
He got, and I was like, I want to trap a bit on TV in that area. And he goes, I did it on Conan. His Law and Order bit, the first, he did it in the first 3 weeks Conan. And it's just like more exciting, crushing. It's fantastic.
Ooh, I got a little list going of stuff to watch.
Yeah, right. As prime as it'll ever be. It's so funny. Yeah. What do you think it is that happens to bits? Is it just you become less connected to them?
There's an energy when it's a fresher point that you, there's a fear and an excitement in your voice that human beings can sense.
Yeah.
And there's nothing it's so fucking frustrating that it goes away. But like, oh no, we can sense everything.
Yeah, they know everything, right?
It's like new love. It's like when you first meet a girl. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah.
That excitement is still there and everything. It's perfect. Because after a while, you're like, I still love this shit. It's not like perfect anymore. But that first few weeks, man, oof. That's the best feeling.
Yep. John Mulaney on Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And on Netflix with New in Town. Neil, time for your third pick.
This is impossible.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Bill Hicks' Revelations.
Oh, sure.
It's shot in England in 1993, probably a year or less before he died. And I shouldn't say it's a little self-righteous. Hicks is very self-righteous. But
is he wearing the cowboy hat?
Yeah, he's wearing the cowboy hat.
That special's intense.
Yeah.
It's fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched it after American came out.
Yeah, it's like really, he's just leaning into it. He doesn't do any like road energy. He just does like because he was popular in England and he wasn't that popular here. Right. So it was like sort of a man in his in full flight. And it's great. It's got a bit about the Iraq war and it's just got like and like
does that have
American
the bit
foreign policy and pick up the gun and just like it's killer.
Does that have the bit where he's like, it's just a ride? Is that the same special?
Not really. That's no, I don't think it does. It might be in there. I don't know. He gets shot at the end. He gets fake shot.
Right, right. Yeah.
That's right.
So, and I don't remember if he says it's just a ride. I know he would say that, but I don't know if he says it in that one.
It's so funny the way, like if you go play Hyenas in Dallas or in Fort Worth, they have this massive mural of like Bill Hicks in the club, which is very nice, right? Like it's very nice, but it's like, the crowds
he never
come to
sold
this,
the place out.
He never would have. Yeah, he never sold the place out. The
I mean, he who, probably did, but you know, I knew you know.
Yeah.
It but is. The crowds who go there would fucking, like the most of the people who go to that club would have fucking walked out of his shows. It's so funny what time does.
Comedy lore is so. There's a club up in Fort Collins that has a big mural of Patrice on it. And it's like, he was never, this club's like 3 years old.
Yeah.
Even the owner of the club is not old enough to have really, you know what I mean? It's like crazy.
Had it matter that much.
Yeah. It's a good move.
Sean, we got to go quick, but you're next.
We'll back to back him. So third is Bill Burr. You people are all the same. It's my favorite. The one with the shotgun spread, where, you know, it's got a nice spread. I think it's the one where he's talking about roofing when he's like his dad just like, you know, fixing shit. And he's like, his mom just being like, ah, he's just that way. But it's just, it's another thing where you see somebody doing stuff like all these younger, like idiot dudes think they can do. And then they, you know, because someone like Bill Burr makes it look so easy and effortless to do this like crazy shit about like his parents growing up and like their like rocky relationship and all this stuff. Just perfect. And I just love the confidence, the cadence, the voice, the squeaks. The resting on the stand. I don't know. It just
does that have the Schwarzenegger bit in it?
No, I don't think that's that one. I think that one. See, there's like, I mean, there's four of them, like so close together.
Burr has the best. I would put. I don't know. I kind of think Burr has the most good specials.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to pick one, but to me, that's my favorite. So
it's not in this special, but him talking about Steve Jobs.
Pretentious fruit like a pear.
A pretentious fruit like a pear. It's just such a funny little detail to me.
Jeans with no belt.
He did a joke about the WNBA, which was so, which I'm like, you know, like you get, like you become sensitive about, like Twitter is like, you can't make fun of the WNBA. And then he came out and like, it's just, oh, it's so just, it's the exact right take. It's the exact right way to make fun of it where nobody can't laugh at it, you know? It's like a good lawyer. He just like
that's
disarms you before you. Yeah.
And he makes all these younger comics think they can and they can't. They can't.
But they gotta try. I've never seen anybody try to be Burr.
I've never seen anybody try to do it.
I don't feel like that in the same way that you see people try to be like Kyle or.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's always a comedian in a general. Or like now you see a lot of people doing just Shane Gillis.
Speak of the devil.
What are you talking about?
Fourth pick. I'll go Kyle Kinane.
Which one?
Whiskey Icarus. Oh, I just think Kyle, I mean, Kyle, sure, really good friend. But if you take that out of there, before any of us were friends with him, to me anyways, he's just exactly what I would like to do. He makes it seem realistic, like it's possible. He's so funny. He just cranks stuff out so much and it's all good. He's just, I don't know. I love it. And that was like, that was probably the intro to him for me that, the big like pointy beard. I think that was probably the first one where like, right. I know he had a Presents back in the day, but anyway.
Whiskey Icarus. I think that was the one he did in San Francisco, right?
Yeah. He had like the pointy beard. I don't know. Just,
I mean,
just,
that was a little later. Cause I knew him when.
Yeah, I did too.
It was probably like 2017.
Yeah. That's
2016.
Right.
Maybe I did know him a little bit, but I don't know. Whatever. I love it. I just, you know, I had to put him on the list. He's amazing. I love him as a comic, as a person.
Kyle with some hair on top.
Yeah. Yep. So yeah, Kyle Kinane, Whiskey Icarus.
Beautiful. Neil, real quick.
Oh, fuck. Me again?
Yeah.
I will go with let's go Norm MacDonald, the one
Hitler's dog. I don't remember. Oh, whatever.
Fuck, yeah, it's so good. Yeah.
Was it the one with the big leather jacket on?
I don't. It's
no,
the
this
one.
Is the newer
it's
one.
The second to last one. It's not the Zoom one.
It's not me doing stand up.
I think it's called. It's like Hitler's dog, gossip and trickery. It's got Hitler's dog in the name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is this the first thing that happens after you die? Is that you are found? Is that in this one?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh my God! It's so. And like it now in retrospect, knowing he knew he was dying doing that stuff, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes it even more poignant.
I don't remember any of the bits. I don't remember anything specific. I just know like you got to put him on there.
Oh, it's he's all, someone yeah,
I've like.
And I don't say that as like I, and now that he's, I don't like the death doesn't make a difference to me because he was so kind of like, not in the comedy community, or at least the one I'm in.
Yeah.
That like, that I was, so it was like, he was never that like present. So his absence now isn't even that more significant.
Interesting.
Yeah. I only interacted with him through a special. Sean O'Connor, ironically, like worked with him all the time, but I think he kept a like tight circle.
Yeah.
I got to open for him a couple times. It was sick.
He told me the funniest, no, we don't have time. Never mind. Sean O'Connor told me a really great Norm MacDonald opening story.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Zach Galifianakis live at the Purple Onion.
It's great.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely.
So fucking funny. So silly. Just like the kind with the thing you watch it where you're like, well, I don't do that. I could never do that. But I'm so glad somebody's doing that.
It's so far away. You're like, oh, this isn't even possible for me. I can just enjoy it with no jealousy.
Yeah. It's just like a full performance from start to finish, mm-hmm. like of a person inhabiting like that elevated character of themselves. It's so funny. And the interviews with himself as his brother.
Sure.
Go through that. It's so funny.
Yeah, dude.
David, for your fourth and final picks.
Fourth pick, I'm going to go. Oh, this is the first one that came to mind. It's the last, most recent special I watched that really made me laugh and felt like another person where he's really hitting his. I'm putting Dan Soder on the road.
Ah.
I didn't see it yet. I feel like
fucking
a jerk.
Amazing, man. He has this bit about
hearing.
A Guatemalan wedding, and it's just like so many bits in it. I'm like, man, like when you hear that, when you have that feeling where you're like, I wish I could have got to that first, or like he has a joke about how he wants to be dumber, just turn the lights down a little bit. Just from beginning to end, I watched it and I laughed out loud, like no cynicism, no like, oh, I see what he's doing there. You know how I mean? You kind of watch comedy specials shitty.
Yep,
now, sure. it was just like a guy on the road killing for 40 minutes. I really love it. And then I guess to close out...
Lightning round.
Baby Cobra, Ali Wong. I really love that special.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
I just had a fun time from San Francisco having, like, you know what I mean? Those people who started before you started and you see them kind of, like, blow up. And it was like, she was pregnant and it didn't seem corny. It just was like, this is where I'm at the time. Fun special.
Excellent pick. My last one, I'm going Gary Goldman, The Great Depression.
Yeah.
Just a phenomenal joke writer. And that one really, the way I could have taken his most recent special too, which was also so, so good. But this one, I think, hit me in like a big way. Just the things he was talking about, the way he made them so funny. He's somebody where like I will watch his specials and my brain will start firing and I'll just start like texting myself. I'm not being like, oh, he has a joke about this.
Oh, that's funny. I'll have it.
I'll have that. But there's something about the way he writes and performs that like just gets my brain firing.
Sure.
To where I'm like, oh, yeah, start sending myself ideas. He's like a kickstart myself back into stand-up mode stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
Neil, your final pick.
I'm just going to shotgun it. I'm going to go Sebastian. I don't remember which one. The one, any
people
of
are all
Sebastian's
same?
One or first one or two. No, that's Bill Burr.
Or no, no.
Sebastian,
what's
isn't it called why would you do that? What's wrong with people?
Maybe that's something.
Ha. He could have a special called Ha.
is it me?
Yeah. Jim Jeffries, Freedom. It's got the gun bit in it. It's got a few bits in it that are excellent. Earthquake had one. Earthquake's last one on Netflix like a year and a half ago. Excellent.
Like 32 minutes. He killed.
If you're sleeping on Earthquake, wake up. I mean, there's so many. I feel like there's, well, maybe it's gone away, but there's people who are like, oh, I don't know. He's so everything.
He also did a special like 6 years ago where he fucks a joke up, doesn't catch it, and then they leave it in like 40 seconds later. He's like, I fucked that joke up. and he's like, oh, fuck you. Like, you never fuck up at work. It was just like a great thing to leave in.
Yeah.
That's charming. I love it.
Yeah. And Mitch Hedberg's half hour.
That was going to be my last pick. Yeah.
Sorry, I ate it.
No, you're good. So, well, let's just count that. So, like, I heard, and I swear I remember seeing this. Like, the whole thing, I used to have it on DVD. It's like an hour or something. But he leaves. Like, he comes out and he starts. And he does 10 or 20. And then he's like, I'm going to start over. And he leaves. He comes back and just does the whole set again. Am I right? He did that, right?
I was at the taping.
You were there? God.
Yeah.
That's so
He
sick.
Didn't. I don't remember him leaving. I remember him just being like, this is going bad. And then it's a thing that Chappelle says, which is like, you know how funny someone is by how they bomb? And it was like a prime example of that. Like, oh, I'm bombing, but now we're all going to bomb.
Yeah.
And then like, he just sat down.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of the first things I remember seeing it where I just, yeah, like that, where you're like, oh man, it's not always perfect, like whatever they present to you, but it was still perfect. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was also like 11:30 on a Friday, right. Thursday or Friday. Damn. It like just was not, it was hot. It just was like, had zero attributes.
Yep. Nobody helping them out.
Yeah, I also would like to put Tosh and Sarah Silverman on there. Just one of their specials. I don't know.
I think we got to throw it. I'm a Be Me, Wanda Sykes.
Phenomenal. As well.
If we're throwing it. I mean,
take a late night set, I got to take Tig pushing the stool around.
Oh,
I mean,
God, that's good.
It's crazy to me that was on TV. That was so, and it's just perfect. So that Tig pushing that stool around.
I don't think I've seen that. I should watch that.
Also, really Rory saying, do you like anal on Conan?
Yeah. Who's doing it? There's shit everywhere. Rory and John Doerr doing their tandem set on Conan.
Really funny.
That's amazing.
Ron Funch is his first Conan, just because that was the first guy from our entire scene. And like, you're like, oh, he's on TV.
That's the craziest. That's the craziest feeling.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't deserve like, with this
what's
guy.
What's going
that's,
on?
That was Alex Cole for us. Yeah. Like, what the fuck's happening?
I feel bad
happening?
For this generation right now where I'm like, what is that? The equivalent? Don't tell, Sam.
Don't tells.
And you're like,
that's all they talk about is don't tells. Nobody shuts the fuck up about doing don't tells.
Everybody's freaking out because so-and-so's on Instagram. Like, I mean, that's wonderful. That's also wonderful. I hope they feel, what I'm saying is, I hope they feel that same way.
I hope they have that pressure of that race to Conan. You remember that?
Yeah.
Like, when am I going to fucking do Conan? I'm going to kill myself if I don't do Conan.
I never got to do it.
I'm sorry, Sean. I don't know what you want me to say to you right
Not
now.
Then be my friend. Be there
Suck.
For me.
You weren't funny, ugly, untoward.
Oh, man. To be honest, I like honesty, so that's nice. Thank you.
Ill-mannered.
Yeah. I'm boisterous. Violent. I get violent.
Well, that wraps us up. Let me go ahead and recap. But first, super producer Isaac, do you have a special you'd like to take?
Yeah, my favorite special ever is My Girlfriend's Boyfriend by Mike Birbiglia. I love that storytelling type of comedy.
Not my story thing, arc. But enjoy not, it. Not I'm kidding.
Awful guy,
blunt.
Too.
I do love Three Mics, Neil. I love Three Mics.
I should have put Mike on my list because that's the reason I did Three Mics. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to drop
little known.
I'm about to drop four mics in about a month here. And I'm
putting, I love
there
it.
Goes.
Congratulations.
There it goes.
Putting you in the fucking dirt, bro. I bet that's the first time you've heard
Talk
that
Talk about
joke.
Synapses. Talk about synapses firing.
I'm finally warming up. It's noon. To recap, David went first. Took Elephant in the Room by Patrice O'Neill. Pimp Chronicles, Cat Williams. Salute Me or Shoot Me, Sam J. Dan Soder, On the Road, and Baby Cobra, Ali Wong. I went second. I took Bring the Pain, Chris Rock. Dress to Kill, Susie, Eddie Izzard. New in Town, John Mulaney. Live at the Purple Onion, Zach Galifianakis. And The Great Depression, Gary Goldman. Neil went third. He took Ray Romano's Letterman and Johnny Carson Tonight Show sets. Killing Them Softly, Dave Chappelle. Revelations, Bill Hicks. Hitler's Dog, Norm Macdonald. And then a smattering, just a poo-poo platter of Sebastian Maniscalco, Jim Jefferies, Earthquake, Sarah Silverman, all these wonderful people. Sean, you went last. You took the original Kings of Comedy. I Walked on the Moon, Brian Regan. You people are all the same. Bill Burr, Whiskey Icarus, Kyle Kinane, and Mitch Hedberg's half hour. We're going to go ahead and slide onto yours just for balance. We want to hear yours. Hit us up at All Fantasy Pod on Twitter, allfantasypodcast@gmail.com. Shout out to everyone on the AFE Patreon, the AFE subreddit, the AFE Shislackity. The AFE Patreon, by the way, is where you'll be able to listen to all of our live episodes from the road. Once again, we'd like to thank our guest, Neil Brennan. Neil, seriously, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm young.
No, you look young, dude.
You're young as hell.
Watch my Don't Tell. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
He's got an extended Don't Tell coming out on Netflix.
He's been drinking lean this whole time.
Yeah.
Is that a young? Are young people drinking lean?
Shit,
still?
Am I that old that lean's an old person? Damn it.
There's I think a brand they're doing called, like the least drugs, these young people now.
Yeah, I think they're like not having sex and not drinking lean right now. I think they're mostly just watching Don't
Pussies,
Tell
Pussies, putting a Brit of dying, you pussies.
They're gonna die dry, man. That's that generation. What else? Oh, shout out to super producer Isaac on the ones and twos. Shout out to St. Sue Carmel. Shout out to Frankie Ocean. Shout out to Sid the Dude. Shout out to Haji Beats. And more important than all of that, tune in again next week to another brand new episode of All Fantasy Everything.
Shiklackity.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.